Welcome back to another episode of Bonsai Retro Club, and we are back continuing to talk about Tom Petty and his career. Rose and Jason and myself, Scott, are going to continue with our top five. We left off just before we were going into number two for Rose, so we will continue now and enjoy the rest of the show.
You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
We're up to number two now.
Number two for you, right?
Right. And my number two pick is technically not a Tom Petty song. I've never been really hardcore into Fleetwood Mac, but I love the duet with him and Stevie Nicks. Oh, yeah. Stop Dragging My Heart Around. I love just his voice is so distinct, and to be able to bounce off of a female voice and essentially be the backing vocals for her. I don't know. It was just the weirdest fit almost, but it worked. And there's a great drive with the song, and love the little cymbal work that they do like between the verses. And then you got that really hard kind of organ type drive, you know, to it. It's just it's one of my favorite duets of the 80s. And, well, pretty much all time is that song. So, what do y'all think of that one?
Rose, you want to take this one first?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go for it.
I love my husband. I'm going to say that first and foremost. When we first got together, and he was here in the United States, our first couple of years, it was a little rocky financially, you know, because we were just starting out. And even though I was like in my 40s and he was mid-30s, we were a newlywed couple, which was really awesome. So when we finally was able to get some money, we would go out every Friday night. And because he worked at the local, at this pub, he worked in an Irish pub called Maggie O'Toole's. And he was a part of the wait staff. And we would go in there and then he'd get off work. And then it's sit around and drink, and we do karaoke. Well, my husband doesn't do karaoke until he's quite
inebriated,
spiritually in the mood to do karaoke. So he doesn't drink anymore. But at this time, and he would do his go-to songs were "Can't Drive 55" and "As the Thunder Rolls," and you know stuff like that. So, and he's got a very deep voice. So, I remember I was like, you know, we should do something together. And he's like, no, that's okay. So I really don't want to sing anymore tonight. And I was like, well, okay. Well, if you change your mind, just let me know. Well, he had gone to the point to where he had changed his mind and I wasn't consulted. So I'm hearing it from the karaoke host. Now we actually have Rose and Richard doing Stop Dragging My Heart Around by Tom Petty and Stevie Nicks. And I went, really? I don't think so. When did I learn this song? And so we get up there and he's, you know, doing the part. And I'm trying to keep up because even though you hear something on a song on a radio long enough, that doesn't necessarily mean you're ready to jump in without the actual people singing along with you. And all through the song, he's going, your timing's off. Just stop singing. Timing's off. Like, you can't even stand up here and hold the mic, and you're telling me my time. I'm the one that's been in the choir, okay? there's like more kind of like bickering back and forth than there was actual singing. But it was still fun, you know, still trying to keep a brave face and, you know, trying to squeak out the Stevie Nicks notes. And, you know, I just always remember that instance. It was a great song. I really like it. And it just goes to show how much I liked it. I didn't appreciate it when Weird Al did Stop Dragging My Car Around. Because I thought that was like a slap in the face. I was like, you could have came up with something better than that. I'm sorry. You know, Weird Al, not cool. So, yeah, that's a great, great pick. Great song.
It's one of the now, you know, Tom's got that, like I said, he's got a very distinct voice, and it's very kind of low. And that song, he just kind of wails on. And there's certain songs where he just wails, and he gets really high. And when it's time for his part in that song, you know, he's like, I know you really want to tell me goodbye. You know, he's singing really high.
Yeah.
And he's just got those, like, couple lines that he does solo in the song. And it's all mainly just backup. But, oh, my gosh, it's so good. And I don't know. It would be one if somebody asked me to do it karaoke, I would probably go for
it. Yeah. You have to do it at least once.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know, it's funny that he's getting, like, second billing on this song. Right? Like, it was more of a Stevie Nicks song with featuring Tom Petty, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is when you go back and watch that, if you see that documentary, Stevie Nicks is on that, and she wanted to be in the Heartbreakers really, really bad. Like, that was her thing. She's like, I want to be part of the Heartbreakers. She was thinking of leaving Fleetwood Mac because she wanted to be part of the Heartbreakers, because she was she just loved his style and writing and just thought he was the best thing out there. So for him to actually be able, you know, for her to get him to be on one of her songs had to be just incredible for her. And it really is.
Yeah.
It's really one of those songs. I never really looked at it as a Stevie Nicks song with Tom Petty. I always thought of it as really it was a duet, like a true duet.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't see a stronger point from one or the other. Kind of like when Stevie Nicks did Leather and Lace with
Don Henley.
Mm-hmm. You know, I get the feeling that they're really in it together, you know?
Yeah.
And so I never got that feeling from the song that they were, that was one featuring another. It was just them together. They were just singing this song, and it was, you know, it was about love and pain and you know, it spoke to a lot of people, I'm sure. But yeah, this is a great, great song. Good pick.
Okay.
So, sorry, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we? Rose number two?
Number two. I am. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Well, I'm floundering here. I actually
many you're looking at right now?
I've mentioned quite a few, so I'm only down to like eight. I think I ran two of them together and meant to break it off into two separate songs, or maybe I thought this was the album and that was the song. I don't know. Anyway, the song, this proves my point. The song title was not what I always thought it was. Into the Great Wide Open.
Oh, yes.
The lyrics just, you know, very playful and, you know, heartfelt and real. But I always thought the song was called Rebel Without a Clue. And because that was the standout lyric from the song. And it just goes to show you his multifaceted talent, you know, for telling a story and writing lyrics and just like, yeah, why not? why don't we just make this the title of the song instead of something that was obvious? And who, you know, doesn't write songs has tried. I mean, I have better titled songs than I have actual songs that I've written. I just have like pages of titles. Oh, that sounds like a good title for a song. And then, you know, you never have any lyrics that follow up to it. But once again, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, telling the story of a hapless, you know, loser kind of a thing, you know. This is me, this is who I am, or this is this person, or, you know, we're just, you know, kind of hopelessly living our life, you know, trying to make it kind of a thing. And once again, it's relatable. I don't know anybody who hasn't, you know, you go ask people, so how's your life been so far? You know, that hasn't said, oh, it's fantastic. You know, like, really? So what do you attribute to that? Let me see. Hold on a second. You know, and a lot of people won't answer the question honestly because either they think you don't want to really know or they think you'll be disappointed for whatever reason.
Very true.
You know, and there was no hesitation. If he fucked up something, yeah, I'd be the first one to admit it. Yep, screwed that up. Oh, well, you know, here I go, you know, kind of a thing. But there was never any lack of positivity. I mean, there's just never, it just wasn't who he was. I mean, he may have songs about things that were, you know, he was down and out or he'd lost a girl or he, you know, had issues with whatever it was he had issues with. But there's, you know, there's a sense of hope. You know, just because he's telling you a story doesn't mean that's the end of the story. Because your life is a journey. So It's just, he just had a fucking amazing journey in his life, you know. So, and I really want to believe that every song he sang was a separate part of his journey in his life.
So. Do you remember who was in the music video to this one?
No.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
I'll
have to go back.
That's another one I remember vividly on MTV watching. That and, well, Free Falling as well. I'll just throw that out there quick. But between that one and Into the Great Wide Open and Running Down a Dream, those music videos, yeah, very impactful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I remember Johnny Depp being part of that video. It was a good one. I remember the chains on his jacket.
Jingle. Yes, and how they jingle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I can picture it exactly. You know, on the leather.
Partying, mingling. Yep. Yeah.
They moved into a place they both could afford. Yeah. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and go with my number two pick here.
Do it.
I'm going to go back to the Southern Accents album. And I'm going to take the title track, Southern Accents.
Nice.
Cool.
What a great, it's just a mellow song. It's not, you know, it's not mostly, you know, if you know my typical music taste, it's rocking, it's heavy, it's, you know, it's the hot, it's the heavier beat stuff, the heavier, crunchier guitar. But this song, man, it's just so cool. It's just, that's just the way that's, you know, it's very mellow. It talks to you. It's telling another story, right? Where he comes from, Southern Accents, where he comes from.
Yeah.
And I just love the sound of it. It's just one of my, it definitely, it's number two. I mean, it falls pretty high on my list. it's awesome. So, what do you guys like this one?
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Oh, Rhodes, you got to listen to this song.
It's not an album. Yeah, it definitely make a list. It's not an album you go to right away when you think Tom Petty.
No.
At least I don't.
No, it's not, and I didn't discover it until, like, within the last like, since we watched that video, like in the last 10 years, I really have, I've experienced a few more albums that I didn't listen to back in the day. Back when it came out, this was back in 85 that this album came out. So it was kind of, you know, in the middle of the 80s, it had Don't Come Around Here No More and Rebels, which is another great song, but, yeah, Southern Accents. I know I'm pulling a few, deep cuts out of here, but there's a lot of stuff that Tom Petty did that a lot of people don't know about, and it's some of his better stuff, actually. So Southern Accents, great, great song.
Mm-hmm. I was just kind of looking back over real quick. Johnny Cash actually covered that song on one of his albums in the 90s. Yeah.
Was that the same one that he did, Rusty Cage?
It's, yes, really? It is. Yes. Oh, man. I've never Unchained, heard that. Yeah. Yeah, it's on that album. Go check it out.
I'm definitely going to check that out, because that, I mentioned this a few weeks ago on another episode where, you know, it was Johnny Cash that did Rusty Cage and Hurt, you know, Hurt by
Hurt, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm mm-hmm. like, man, he did it. Incredible. In fact, the Rusty Cage version, I like it better than Soundgarden. So it's, yeah. So mm-hmm. if he did this one, I'm definitely going to go check that out. Because Johnny Cash, one of my favorites too. I love Johnny. We just watched Walk the Line the other night.
Again. Oh yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
It's
a good one.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Definitely, Rose. I'm serious. I'm giving you homework.
No, I'm taking it.
This is official homework. I'm going to tell you. Go listen to Southern Accents. It's really.
Okay.
It's not an upbeat rockin' song. Just listen to it. Just sit back.
That's okay.
Yeah, well, it's the same one with Don't Come Around Here No More. So it's got that. I think there's some songs on there that are more upbeat, but it is a lot of more mellow stuff. Mm-hmm. If I do remember right. Well, it's been a while since
Rebels
I listened to it.
A little bit more upbeat.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, definitely check it out. So, are we to Jason's number one?
I think we are.
Wow.
Number.
Okay. Bring it, buddy.
Oh, number one. Well, we mentioned it already. It's Running Down a Dream. And it's the song I first went to after I heard he died. And I remember coming home that night from work. And sometimes our local station, when, you know, some of the music stars have passed away, like when Prince passed away, they'll go on and they'll play a ton of Prince songs, like on the drive home. And I was zipping around trying to find a station that was playing some Tom Petty, because my CD player in my truck is gone, and I didn't have anything with me. And I was like, oh, I'm dying to listen to some Tom Petty. And I came home and I just went to YouTube and I put on that music video. And mm-hmm. I remember sitting in my chair and I watched it once or twice. And my little girl, who's 4 now, she hopped up on my lap and we must have watched that music video about 8 times in a row. Mm-hmm. Just the animation and, oh, it's so mm-hmm. fun. It is one of those music videos, again, going back to that it's a fun little journey, you know, from him waking up and that little man taking him. It was based on something. I can't remember off the top of my head what the story wrapped around that music video and that character is, but it's so much fun. You know, he gets slung around and they're like running over different planets and stuff, and then he mm-hmm. gets to the city and he's like huge among the buildings and stuff. You know, almost like King Kong, and oh, it's just so much fun to watch. And then that track. It's probably my favorite Tom Petty song, obviously at number one. And when my buddy Wyatt and I were going to start this podcast that we do on Rediscover the 80s called Memory Jogger, it was basically just the concept was just us going back to our childhood and trying to remember things around being at school and everything. And I was like, we got to come up with a theme song. And I was like, that was the perfect theme song to pick, you know, Running Down a Dream. And the whole running and jogging, I guess, is what mm-hmm. kind of led us to that But it's so good, and so it's just really fast paced, and I just love to crank it in the car. And there's a lot of his songs that are, I could say that about, but and like Scott, you've been saying, that whole Full Moon Fever album is probably, that's probably my favorite album of his as well. You can listen to front to back.
What, his third best selling album?
Second
best?
Yeah, right. Second best.
Yeah.
So
that says a lot about it there too.
Right. So yeah, so Running Down a Dream is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, wow, that's really a good pick. And you know, I mentioned that as in the story I told when I went back to California and had it on cassette and was listening to it on my headphones. And it's very memorable for me, that whole album. But that song is, it's a great, great driving song. I mean, it's you want to get you want to get out on a desert highway and just open it up. not that I have anywhere to drive, you know, I don't have anywhere like that around here to drive, but you it would be really nice to just really get cranking down the road on that thing. So yeah, this is a great pick, great one.
Excellent.
For number one, I don't blame you at all for picking that as your number one. So anyway,
cool
Rose, you, as your,
what about me,
you love this one?
Oh, absolutely, totally. Yeah,
it's it was quite the hit too. On you heard it a lot on the radio and in the, I now I'm gonna be honest with you, I do not remember the video at all.
Really?
I cannot remember. I cannot picture it in my head at all. And usually, videos, I know a lot of videos. I have a DVD set that we did. My wife and I both just turned 50 recently, and we had this 80s party. I don't know if you heard about that, Jason, but we had this 80s party, and years ago, I bought this DVD set off, online somewhere, and it was a total, like, bootleg of all these videos. I didn't know it at the time when I bought it until I got it in the mail. I'm like, wow, somebody, like, just copied all these and burned them onto CD, onto DVDs and printed out these... you know, cheesy, labels and stuff. And I have, it's like over 350 of these videos.
Wow.
So
wow.
And during the 80s party, we put that on the big screen, you know, just in the main party area, whatever you want to call it. And people were glued to it. And I mean, that's how I was with MTV. And I know a lot of the videos that were out there at the time, but I am racking my brain and I cannot picture Running Down a Dream.
Wow. You guys
are saying it's animated. I'm going, I don't see it at all. I can see Refugee, you know, being out in the desert with the futuristic where he finds a cassette. And I can picture him with Stevie Nicks and, you know, with Stop Dragging My Heart Around. I can picture him in the, I think it was Here Comes My Girl, where he's in this, it's a very white staged area with them on different levels of staging. And I can see all these things, but I cannot picture Running Down a Dream. And that's the first thing I'm going to do when we get done with this phone call. I'm looking.
Oh my gosh.
I have to go look and watch this video, because now you guys have both said it's such a great video.
Yeah. And it's all in black and white too, which is kind of weird.
Huh.
To watch, you know, on MTV,
yeah,
you're watching this black and white cartoon essentially.
I'm definitely dying to go to watch this thing. I know it's going to come back to me as soon as I see it. I'll be like, okay, I
like this one. Yeah.
So anyway, great, awesome. So Rose, you want to go to your number one?
Yes, I do. Now, my number one may not be, you know, everybody's number one, but I believe I chose it because it's one of the few songs where Tom's got attitude. Now, he already had attitude because we all know he's not petty, and he's, you know, he's got attitude. But the song is from, put my glasses back on. That would help. Long After Dark. And the song's called You Got Lucky. And is basically letting someone know, well, you know, you can leave if you want to, but, you know, you're never going to find anybody else like me because you got lucky when I found you. Not when you found me, when I found you. So I'm taking credit for that one. And I'm like, damn, somebody just got told, you know, because that's kind of how I look at it. It's like, yeah, you leave, go ahead.
It's funny.
Good luck, hard time, baby.
You're right. You know, a lot of songs that are like about how, you know, from the point of view of like, well, I got screwed. You know, I was lucky when I had you. You left me. Now I'm brokenhearted. But no, he turns it around. That's really a good point. I, you know, you got lucky.
Yeah.
When I found you.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know.
But yeah, this is all about me finding you.
Maybe you should get over yourself.
Bye now. Yeah, there you go. It's not all about you.
Yeah.
It's about me. So, yeah. Well, that's a great song.
Yeah, it is a great song. I love the – it's keyboard. It's – I don't know what it all is. It's guitar, but that just that whole instrumental kind of section in that song is
the
really
– in the middle is – and the reverb. There's a lot
almost,
of reverb in his vocals.
Right, and it almost has that kind of soap opera type sound. So it does; it fits perfectly with the lyrics, you know.
Yeah, it does. It's really, you know, like you said, it's got kind of a almost a synth,
aesthetic
sound to it, which is great because 1982 was definitely the So, but yeah,
and that's what I liked about it too. You know. I always am under the impression that less is more when you think of bands. Like, I love The Police and Rush and ZZ Top and all these trios, but The Heartbreakers and Tom Petty is one of those kind of exceptions to the rule because all of the other elements mixed in sounds just awesome on his albums. And just hearing the keyboard and all the other instruments on there is great.
Yeah. And he had so many amazing guitars that he used, and so many different kinds, too. Certain people only use, like, okay, Fender Stratocaster, this is all I'm using.
Right.
Kind of a thing. Excuse me, but he mixed it up. I think he used, a Rickenbach, and he used a Fender, and there was another one, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm dying over here. Sorry.
Do you need a break?
No, I'm good.
I was going to say, he mentions that Rickenbacker at the end of that Christmas song. I want a new Rickenbacker. I want a new that for that for Christmas. Lived,
right.
Yeah.
As the song is fading out, right? It's
right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great pick. Great pick. I like it at number one.
So I found the I went. Opened up the Excel sheet that my wife gave me. I wanted to just real quick mention the ones that she picked as her top five. So I know which one is her favorite one, so I'm going to say that last. But she has The Waiting, You Don't Know How It Feels.
That's great.
Yeah, from Wildflowers. The Waiting from Hard Promises. And let's see. Here Comes My Girl from Damn the Torpedoes. Even the Losers. And that would be like her number two song. But I know that her favorite one, and it's a live version, which is going to segue into my next pick, is Learning to Fly. And when he did that live at the concert that we went to, it was unbelievable. Like the crowd participation, it gets me every time. And I'm glad that I was able to bring it around this way too, because that's my last pick is Breakdown, the live version.
Because
I heard that the first time, I think I heard it on the radio. I'm like, holy crap! Like the crowd, the whole crowd knows every word to this song, and he says right, you know. After the crowd gets done singing the whole first verse on their own, he goes, "You're gonna put me out of a job."
Yeah,
I'm like, wow, that's classic.
Oh yeah.
So it's always been one since it came. I don't even know what album it came on, or what he released it on. Do you guys know? I couldn't find
Breakdown?
It.
Breakdown.
First one.
Not the studio version, but the live version.
Oh, the live one. Oh, okay.
It came out in the like late 80s, mid to late 80s. Oh. I just don't know which one it came off. I couldn't find a live album like it was listed as live. But
there's one. I was just looking through this. Pack Up the Plantation live in 1985.
Okay.
It might be. Let me see if it's on that one.
I think it is. Yes, because I was looking through my list today. That's it.
Breakdown. Yep, it's on there.
It's just really, it's like, I'm not always a huge fan of live versions of songs.
Mm-hmm.
This one, like, won me over as far as a live version, because it just really shows how much his fans loved his music by being able mm-hmm. to sing it back that well. Like, they even mm-hmm. had, like, a duet going on, you know, some background vocals. You heard a section of people out in the crowd. A little bit of background vocal on that. I'm like, wow, that is unbelievable. Yeah. So that's my number one pick. And awesome. it's still it gets me every time. I can't like skip that song. I would never be able to skip song, you know? So it's really, really one of the best. It's just my favorite song by him. So do you guys have any... Like, well, you can, if you have anything to say about that song, also some, if we have any, like, honorable mentions that we want to mm-hmm. go through real quick.
Well, as far as Breakdown goes, I actually just heard that one on the radio not too long ago. I'll listen, there's a local station here in Montgomery, 107.1 The Vault, shout out to mm-hmm. them. They do a live lunch, and I don't always listen to it. I'm like you. I like some live tracks, but it's few and far between really for me. And they played that track just recently, and I remember listening to that and being like, oh man, you know, how awesome would that be for you, the artist, to be in concert and just kind of sit back and let the crowd sing your song back to you?
Yeah,
it was
almost that way when we saw him do Learning to Fly. It was very close to that, but Breakdown just put it over the top. So yeah. Mm.
and Learning to Fly is a great pick too. I mean, that's when you think of at least his acoustic sound. That's that's it right there.
Yeah.
Learning to Fly.
What about you, Rose? You know the live version of this one? A Breakdown?
No, I don't, but I would love to be able to hear it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you have mega musicians, like, you know, I can name, like, right off the top of my head, at least three live versions of like Queen when they were at Live Aid,
mm-hmm.
and they did Who Wants to Live Forever. And he actually lets the audience sing the first verse. Mm-hmm. That is so freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And we're talking like thousands of people. And then the second one, it was, I want to say Children of the Mountain. It was a live version of that by Heaven and Hell. And Ronnie James Dio is, you know, and the audience is getting into it. And I just heard one last night, Iron Maiden, Fear of the Dark. And I'm like, who invited the men's choir? I mean, these guys are like on key, they're on tempo. And my husband's like, that's because they've heard the song like a gazillion times and they know it probably just as well as he does.
Yep.
Well, when you have, you know, a concert atmosphere like that, there's like no room for error, but every room for error because you're live.
Right.
So it's like anything can happen. And I think to me, that's like the best tribute, you know, to an artist. If you've got thousands of people that know your music and are singing it to you in tribute.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's amazing.
Totally. Queen is Queen is a good call. I was going to say Queen. You think of like arena rock. They've mm-hmm. used that term before, and I would kind of shove Tom Petty into that category because he does. like you say, was saying, Scott, if you see him in concert, it's a total sing-along. And Queen was probably the original one that was coined the phrase like arena rock, just because their fans were so much into the show itself.
Right. So I think they might have been at Wembley. It wasn't Live Aid. It might have been Wembley.
Well, still, I went back. It could have been. I do remember them doing Radio Gaga, I think, at Live Aid. Maybe it was last year, 2 years ago. I went and watched. At one point, they had the full Live Aid on YouTube. And I would watch part of it every, over the course of a week. Because I think it was like 4 hours long or something when you put it all together. But, oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was a great show.
Mm-hmm. It was amazing. Just, the legacy that Tom Petty had, and I think last year or from 2016 until 2000, they were actually on their reunion tour because they were celebrating their 40 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Being together, which was really cool. And you spoke about, the song, the video that you and your daughter watched, when you found out he passed. And the Friday before I found out, I was listening to Pandora. It was so weird because I actually listened to a specific radio station and they kind of were throwing like, how about this one? This kind of sounds like them, and then I go, no, it doesn't. And then I do the thumbs down. But every time Tom Petty and Heartbreakers came on, I'd be like, oh, yeah, thumbs up. And I believe it was either like Free Fallin' or, one of the hits from that I was more familiar with. And it was just like, yeah, I like that. That is just so, let's have more Tom Petty. And I remember going on Twitter because he followed my 80s Music Girl page about a year and a half ago. Maybe it was even 2 years. And I was just like, so like dumbstruck. Oh my god, it's Tom Petty. It's his page or whoever he pays it, to do that for him. And I remember going on the page like that same night going, one of the best songs ever, because they're always the best song ever, and then 2 days later, you get that news and you're just like, it's like somebody like stabbed you with a javelin or something. It's just like the shittiest thing you could possibly hear. Like, man. But, the legacy, is just, we'll always have him because we always have his music. So to discover new stuff, like the deep cuts, like Scott talked about, and the cool videos, that you were talking about, Jason, just to like rediscover that and just go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or, wow, that is a cool song. It's just, you'll always have the rest of your life to enjoy that.
It kind of sucks, though, that it takes somebody dying to go back and do a lot of this, though. I remember thinking that a lot, even with, like, when Whitney Houston and Glenn Frey and, all these that have just kind of hit us in the last couple years, obviously Prince, too. And you're like, oh, my gosh. It's almost like, why haven't I been celebrating their, their musical careers more than just when they die,
But it's just so much stuff, we're so saturated and there's so many things that we listen to. And it's not like it gives us, it's like our second chance to appreciate them.
True.
Cause I don't think they're holding it against us. Like, hey, you weren't listening to my 1984 album.
Well, I understand
that's
that.
That's good for you.
It is a good opportunity to, at least my experience, to pass it along to my kids as well. All right, this is what Daddy listened to back in the day. This person was, his music, and to get them to listen to a little bit of some of my favorites as well. And I don't expect them to understand or even, necessarily like what I'm subjecting them to. But at the same time, I think there are a couple connections there that makes it worthwhile, too. So, like I said, just watching that music video over and over again with my little girl. She had probably no idea, you know, who in the world was singing it or anything. She was more enamored with the cartoon aspect of it. But still, I mean, that's
singing. Yeah.
Right. There's still something about that.
You know, we had to narrow down 15 songs out of this guy's catalog. And I'm looking at my wife's list. I'm going, I should have mentioned that. I could have mentioned that one. Oh, I could have mentioned that one. I'm gonna forward this list to you guys through the
the email
string that we got going. And there's just so many great songs on her list. I mean, you can go through his whole catalog and find songs, but it's nice to have them, you know, just kind of thrown out there with certain songs that are really good. A couple of honorable mentions that I want to talk about real quick. Something that grew on me, and I didn't even hear it until like maybe 3 or 4 years ago, was Rhino Skin. And I can't remember which album that's off of right now. I had it in front of me and it's gone. That is a great song. It's a great song. It's one of those deep cuts that you'll never hear on the radio or anything like that. But it's about having, you know, growing tough to what's being thrown at you from the world all the time. And it says,
you can
hear my skin grow tough, you know, and you need rhino skin. If you're going to begin to live in this world on your own. I mean, it's really, really deep. But it's got a really cool guitar thing. It's got ding, 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 ding. It's really just an unusual song. It's very cool. So look it up sometime. We mentioned early in the podcast, we mentioned that the song or the music from She's the One. And
yes,
Jason, you mentioned Walls, another one on that, another one on that same album, which is, it's a soundtrack, right? Yeah, it's a soundtrack. It's called Angel Dream Number 2. Amazing. Or is it? I think it's Angel Dream Number 2. There's a number 4 on there also. Great. I don't know. I'm not sure which one it is because I don't have the album. I just, you know, I hear it on our list. It's a very short song. It's under 2.5 minutes. But it's very mellow and cool and kind of like Southern accents. And then another, I really like a lot of his mellow, slow songs too. It's crazy. But Crystal River, being from the Florida area, you know, he's from Gainesville. There's just on the east coast or on the west coast of Florida, just not too far from Gainesville, maybe a couple hours from Gainesville, just north of us about an hour, is Crystal River. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spring river that's right off the coast, and the manatees come up in there, and he just talks about, you could just imagine yourself floating on this river, just face up, just completely relaxed, and it's a very relaxing song. So those are my honorable men. Oh, I Need to Know. That's another good one. But that one's rocking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one.
What about you guys? You got any honorable mentions you want to throw out there real quick?
Quickly?
Yeah, because I have a question about. I have go a ahead, question Rose. About. So, but I noticed we didn't mention Mary Jane's Last Dance. And I'm not, you know, I don't dislike it, but it's not one of my favorites. But I noticed that in the chorus, there's, it's like a guest singer. I don't know what you would call it, but isn't it? I wanted to know if it was the guy who was the lead singer from America. I don't remember who is. What his name was, but I remember he had a very distinct voice, and that's kind of who it sounded like.
I don't know.
Really?
I'll pull it up and see, but
yeah,
That was another very impactful music video for me. That was on the Greatest Hits album. That was a single mm-hmm. released off the Greatest Hits. And yeah. it had Kim Basinger, or Basinger, okay. in the video. And he's just kind of, you know, wandering around. And she's acting dead, you know. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah.
What else? Any other honorables? No? Rose, are you there?
Yeah, oh, I'm here. I'm just waiting for Jason to say something.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought he had one, so I didn't want to interrupt.
No, I was kind of digging into your song there for Mary mm-hmm. Jane's Last Dance. But just from the top of my head, putting down songs, my favorite Tom Petty songs, I think I came up with 19 that I counted.
I still have like 7 or 8 on my list that I could have gone.
Yeah, through, but so I'm not.
We don't have time for it.
Well, and most of them you guys already mentioned.
Yeah,
and we hadn't mentioned Free Falling yet.
That's
another one of those. I remember the skateboards kind of flying up in the air and coming to the ground, you know, in the music video, and he's kind of. It seems like he's on like some kind of movable platform and. Like there's buildings and stuff kind of going behind him and he's going up in the air. So that was a memorable music video for me. Not necessarily one. I didn't put it in my top 5. I don't know if I would even maybe put it in my top 10, but he just wails on it though. I mean, you remember the scene in Jerry Maguire, obviously, where he's after all that crap happens to him, you know, he's driving down the road and that song comes on the radio and he just cranks it and screams at the windshield, the windshield karaoke, like I say. That was a great memorable movie moment there. Off Wildflowers, It's Good to Be King. Love that one. That one's a real fun one, you know. And he just kind of goes into what it would be like if you could, you know, pretty much do anything and everything's in harmony, you know. When your bulldog barks, your canary sings, you know. Love that song. And I love that it's got this really kind of lengthy outro with the, like, keyboards and organ that I really mm-hmm. like. And even almost like some strings as well. If you listen to the album version of that, I don't know if he released it as a single, but love that song. Did we mention Refugee?
No,
I don't think so.
Well,
it was on my list though.
I mentioned it briefly when I was saying that I remember all the videos. Yeah. Like I can picture that video.
Right, right, right.
The futuristic West world of just. You know, like a post-apocalyptic type thing.
Yeah, yeah. Refugee, and of course, American Girl. Mm-hmm. Another one of those just, you know, instantly, it's Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. And then the couple newer ones that I guess I briefly mentioned about, it's called Saving Grace, is the one mm-hmm. that when we first moved here, to Montgomery, that kind of stuck in my brain was a single on the radio. And then I love The Last DJ. Mm-hmm. That one came out, I think, in the early 2000s on, what album was it? But my background is kind of in radio and radio broadcasting. So that one just kind of hits home to me. And I just love the sound of it and the rhythm of The Last DJ. And it is kind of it's one of those just storytelling songs as well. You think of, you know, somebody that's been on the radio for years and being the last one, you know.
Yeah, that's a great song. Isn't the name of the album The Last DJ also?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
I thought I saw it when I was skimming through. Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, yeah, that's a great song. His lyrics are so cool. He's just such a good songwriter. And mm-hmm. that's I always wanted to be in radio.
Mm-hmm.
you got to be in radio. I always wanted to be in radio.
Well, I was trained in radio, and it's a long story. I won't go into it, but I would love to get back into it again.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, seems like this is the new radio, though, you know, podcasts.
It is, yes. It's radio, kind of like our own little radio station, right?
Radio is really not as, like, everybody streams everything now. So
right.
You don't get to hear as much radio as I remember in the 90s, man. I used to listen to a lot of, like, you know, morning zoo type stuff that, in Chicago, they had a whole all day. It was all morning zoo all day long. You know, it was the crazy wacky DJ stuff. You know, it was never a big fan of Howard Stern, but he's done amazing things in that arena.
Right.
You know? But I listened to, like, you know, there was Kevin Matthews and Jonathan Brandmeier, and that was all the Chicago stuff, and Steve Dahl with Disco Demolition back when in Wrigley Field. I don't know if you guys remember that, but crazy stuff. But
yeah,
I always love radio, but I feel like, you know, more people are listening to just everything on stream, and you don't get to hear
it's true
through radio anymore. The computers pick the music for you, versus back in the day, the record companies kind of, you know, told you what to play, I guess, right? I mean, you would know
more about
it. But it seems like it was a little bit more personal back then than it is now.
Based on the DJ, right, right.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had a relationship with the DJ. You would listen to a specific DJ. Just look at WKRP, right?
Right, yeah.
It explains a lot. Really, it really explains a lot of how, you know, it was so popular that they made a TV show about it, you know?
Yeah. Just one of those things. Well, and that, just the way the radio industry has somewhat feasted on itself, and there's so many of these, like, super companies out there, Westwood One, and trying to think of some others that have just bought up stations all across the United States.
Right.
And there's very few kind of mom and pop or just individually owned stations anymore, and you lose that personality, I think, and what it was back then. And you tuned into this DJ during the, you know, afternoon drive because you knew what he liked and what he liked to play. He was, you know, had to play a few songs because the program director said he had to, but he still could essentially program his own music in between. And you lose a lot of that when you get, like, the iHeart radio stations now. Mm-hmm. And I'm not bashing on them too much, but one I listen to at work, it's an R&B station, and they essentially are supposed to be playing, like, today and yesterday type R&B. But it's all, like, the same tracks over and over again. And you'll hear two or three Prince songs in 2 or 3 hours, and it's like the same two or three songs each time. I'm like, Prince has put out a lot more stuff than just two or three songs. Come on. And I'm like, where is Lionel Richie? I don't hear Lionel Richie at all. Is he not R&B? You know? Yeah. And so there's, you know, and it probably has something to do with the legality and licensing and all of that stuff. And they want to, you know, there's certain artists that they want to push more than others. But that's what you lose in the smaller, you know, radio stations back in the day, and it shows. So,
yeah.
Well, that was a whole different bunny trail.
Yeah, that's okay, though.
Oh, no. Totally agree with you. I mean, you know, who out there, you know, still remembers Wolfman Jack?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, and he had such an amazing show and so iconic in his delivery as a DJ, that he almost was more like a celebrity than he was a DJ.
Right,
and
yeah.
And I remember living in Southern California in the 70s and listening to... SFM,
baby.
Oh, my God. No. Sorry. I wouldn't get to that until later on.
It was Casey Kasem, top 40. It was great, man.
I was listening. I was hanging out with the Vatos in Southern California, and we were all listening to Art Connor, and he was playing the hits of the 50s and 60s, so we're listening to a lot of this doo-wop stuff. You know, Frankie Valli and the Coasters and people like that, you know, because that's what they listen to when they're driving these big giant hoopties around cruising on Saturday night up and down, you know, Ventura Boulevard or wherever they're going. But, you know, people like that stick out. Yeah, Casey Kasem sticks out, you know, and Dick Clark and people like that. But you don't really have people like that anymore. You have, you know, DJs that are, they're all trying to be, you know, funny or interesting. And we've got this one station over here, KISW in Seattle, and it plays, you know, rock. That's it. And they actually have one show is called The Men's Room. And they'll have, like, on Friday where they play, like, this one song. You have to guess, like, out of the three songs, which is a song, you know, that they chose, and that's the song that they'll never play again on the station. nine times out of ten, it's like an 80s, you know, something like, you know, Human League or Flock of Seagulls or somebody like The Weather
Girl. Oh, come on.
Like that. Yeah, and it's just like they're all into, you know, and it's grunge town, so, you know, you hear a lot of Soundgarden, Foo Fighters, and Nirvana, and you know, Stone Temple Pilots and all of these.
Surprised they play anything else but that.
Well, you kind of makes you wonder. It's just like, wait a minute, didn't we just hear this yesterday? Yeah, around about the same time. But, you know, and it's just, I don't know, it's very disappointing because I like listening to radio. That's why when I go on Pandora, I make my own station. You know, just because you throw something in there, you know, doesn't mean I'm going to listen to it. But the only thing about that is, they don't let you dislike so many before they're legally bound to tell you, well, we can't let you dislike anymore for at least another half hour. I was like, fine, I'll just go pick another station to listen to. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't like AC/DC. Stop throwing it at me.
So. Well, you know, we'll just never have the experience and talent of a Dr. Demento like we had in the back in the day.
There you go. Uh-huh. See? Lord bless him.
Anyway, well, you guys ready to wrap this one up?
I think so.
I think so. I think we covered a little. No, we didn't cover much of Tom Petty at all.
We tried.
You could do like I'm sure we could do like 3-4 episodes easily just on Tom Petty and his career, and we could have broken it up into decades and.
Yeah.
And done it that way. But anyway, so that's about it. We'll wrap up with the first of all, thanks again for coming back, Jason. That was
you're welcome.
I'm glad you joined us again. You have a lot of good input and a lot of good experience with the with music, and it's good to hear you.
Well, thank you.
And I've been binging a few of your older podcasts that I didn't get to before, and you guys kill me. it's good stuff. You guys talk about really good stuff. I love the first jobs episode was really fun.
Oh yeah,
that was a good one.
And for him to call up our old boss, that was that threw me for a loop. But yeah, that's part of my radio career.
Yeah,
was that just that small little station and basically just running the board. You know, we weren't on the air really much at that point.
Make sure you shut down at the right time.
Right.
Don't forget to do that.
All right, and play this commercial here and that and getting griped at over the phone by the general manager about dead air and all that stuff. I mean, that's just, you know, radio at its best right there. But my buddy Wyatt calling up our old boss and getting to chat with him was, that was so much fun. But I appreciate you listening, because we love to go back and just try to remember as much as we can about our childhood and just quirky things. And we did an episode on our mixtapes that we
just dubbed that Yeah, now
we dug through, and I mean, that was so much fun as well. I mean, it's real stuff, and it's, you know, stuff sitting out in our garage here still, you know. But it's fun to reminisce, and I'm glad it kind of translates to other people as well, and not just our little story, you know, in small town central Pennsylvania. But
one of the fun things I like about you guys' show is that you guys have known each other for so long. I think that adds, that old friendship adds to the show. But I got to tell you a quick story about mixtapes, real quick. When I used to work for FedEx Ground up in the Chicago area, and it was my own truck, and I was able to put my own radio in there, and I had, you know, back in the late 90s, I had still a cassette CD player, but I had I had this box of mixtapes in my truck, and you know, I had it like behind the driver's seat, kind of sitting, and it, you know, I would fold it closed, just like that fold, you know, where you would lift the corners and it would kind of keep it closed, but it's not completely tight. And it was a box of probably about 35 or 40 different tapes. Not all of them were mixtapes. Some of them were, you know, actual purchased cassettes. Well, I came in one day and, you know, the loaders, the people that unload and load the trucks, they had unloaded all my truck. And they had actually unloaded that box and threw it on the belt. And it went to, you know, they have a place called Overgoods. That's just some random place where packages with no labels end up there. It's like the It's like the
dead letter office.
The dead letter office. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's the same thing, but with FedEx or UPS. I'm sure UPS has the same thing. So it ended up there. There's no way I was ever going to trace it down or find it or anything like that. I'm like, those were all my best mixtapes. And I was so bummed.
Man.
I was so bummed. And I have no tapes left at all anymore.
So now
they're all gone.
Going to find that would be like Indiana Jones going to that warehouse.
Yes.
You know, where the Ark of the Covenant is stored, right?
It's so funny because when I was explaining that just now, that's the first image that comes to my mind is this giant warehouse with just all these random boxes in it that are not labeled. So yeah, that's my mixtape story. So
I believe that it went to a good home.
Well, I hope somebody discovered that it was partially opened.
Yeah. And like, man, look at all these mixtapes. This guy spent hours putting this together. Yeah, I should
have known. I mean, you have no idea how hard it was to put Achilles' Last Stand, that Led Zeppelin, back to back with a song by Queensryche, where the exit sound and the intro sound between the two songs are almost identical and they flow together.
That is mental.
Yeah. You know how hard it was to do that? And that was when I didn't have a mixer. You know, you had to time it just right with that pause button and put the new.
Ow.
Yeah. It was, so can you tell I'm scarred by this?
Yes, I can.
All right. So anyway, Jason, again, thanks for coming on. Anybody listening can check out his show. It's Rediscover the 80s. You can find it either through your website, right? Rediscoverthe80s.com.
Correct.
Or you have your blog there. And you guys do a YouTube portion.
We do, yeah.
Podcast, too.
We use Google Hangouts, so it automatically posts our recording session over on YouTube. So you can watch us and hear all of our, you know, screw ups as we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Or listen to the podcast version, which I tend to add a little more production value to. So, yeah, either one. And I'm pretty active over there on the Twitter, too,
right.
at RD80s.
Right. You can find us at BonsaiRetroClub.com, and we are Bonsai Retro Club on Twitter, which Dave manages, and I'm 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter, and Rose is 80s Music Girl now. But for Bonsai Retro Club, if you can go on to iTunes and leave us a review, that would be awesome. And also for Jason, go check his show out and leave him a review, and And we also have something called Patreon. If you go down to our webpage and scroll down to the bottom, you can help support our show. If you like what you hear and you want us to keep going, you know, we appreciate every little bit. You know, just donate a couple bucks helps us pay for the website. So anyway, Rose, you have anything else to add?
No, just want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, Jason, for coming on at the last minute. Sure. Say hi to Dave in Lima, Peru. Send us a postcard and don't drink too many of those Inca colas because those look kind of dodgy.
Yeah.
I don't want you like your eyes popping out of your head or anything like that. So, doing a Roger Rabbit on it.
Dave sent us a picture of something that he's drinking down there called Inca Cola, and I don't know what it is, but he says he likes it, so it's funny. It's
like a fruity Coca-Cola, he said. Yeah. Coca-Cola apparently bottles it and makes it, so yay.
Cool. All right, well, you guys have a good rest of your evening. I'm going to hit the hay here soon, and we will talk to you soon. Jason, come on, you know, come back sometime, and we'd love to have you back.
Sure.
Again. So
would love to be back. Thanks.
You bet. We'll talk to you guys later.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
This has been a Banzai Retro Club production.
Banzai, Daniel-san.
Hey, Banzai.
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 No!